Okay, take a look at it. I told you that the Hebrew name was Boaz. Now, it's probable that an even more ancient name was Arcturus, A-R-C-T-U-R-U-S. And again, just to set the record straight, we're still on the zodiac sign of Virgo, and this is the third and hopefully last meeting we're going to spend on Virgo, because this is the last decan or constellation attendant to it.
Now, is that different from the star? Isn't there a star called Arcturus?
Yes, and it's in that constellation.
Yeah, we're going to get to that in a minute.
Ah, yes.
The brightest star in the left knee. The brightest star in the constellation is in the left knee. And that's why they think it was called that. But anyway, Arcturus also means he cometh. In a Greek language. Anyway, okay. The name of this constellation for the Egyptians was Smat. S-M-A-T. Well, this is a transliteration, obviously. But it means, in the Egyptian, the name of the Egyptian, the meaning of the Egyptian name meant he who rules, or he who subdues, or he who governs. So, again, remember we started to tie this in the last time, but it says that God has given names to all the stars. There are 6,000 stars that are visible not here, there's not that many here, but there are only 6,000 stars that are visible if you're in the desert with a reasonably good telescope, not a really top-notch, but I mean just an average sort of telescope, you can see 100,000 stars. With the radio telescopes and the other modern stuff, it is up in the billions. So the idea that of this, it's the ones that we're talking about the 6,000 that were can be seen with the eye. These are the ones, essentially the main ones. They were given ancient names, and when were those names given? Well, who knows? But there's some commonality of meaning again to the names of the stars besides the names of the constellations. Okay. Yeah. And also in some of the ancient Egyptian star maps, it's called Ba'u, B-A-U, which is probably a form of the Hebrew Bo, which Boaz, or the coming. Now the star in the, look at it, the star in the spearhead, which is, looks like it's part of the spearhead, but it's really, there, in the spearhead there's one star there that makes the head of the spear. It's called it's called Al Katurops, and it means coming as an arrow. The star in the waist is Izar, I-Z-A-R. It means the preserver, or it could be also Myrak is another name for that star. The star in the calf, the bright one there below the knee, is called Murfride, and it means he who separates. The star in the head, the brightest star in the head, which is, looks like it's on his cheek, is named Nekar, and it means the pierced. Also, in another language that I'm not familiar with yet, but it's probably Chaldean, ancient Chaldean, the name of that star was Merga, and it means he who bruises. Now, again, I'm not going to review the same things I said before, but the constellation, the zodiac, and its three constellations revealed the birth of a child from a virgin, the seed to bruise the serpent's head, and then it goes on to the final coming to judge and harvest. It reveals the sufferings of Christ and the glory which should follow. And so there's a whole lot of, in the names, in the looking at this as a mosaic, in the time, in the names of the stars, the names of the constellations, there's an obvious pattern of something that can be seen. And it's the first one. Now we've essentially studied the first one of 12 series of groups or groups that we're going to end up studying. Now, the one I want you to concentrate for a minute on the idea that the guy is running. I mean, he's got a sickle in his hand and an arrow in the other hand, and it looks like he's running. Okay? Let's go to Revelation.
On the way there, I just had a strange thought. Maybe it's laughable, but, you know, if we accept the star map, and if we accept it's telling us the story of what's going on, the only reason for time and space, these stars don't form these things from any vantage point in creation other than the Earth.
That's right.
So much for UFOs.
Well, the other thing that's interesting to me...
It's sort of like, I mean, these were all hung to be seen from only one place.
Yeah. We could go into... We haven't... I don't want to go into that tonight. But anyway, if you had to select one thing or one way in history to set up signs that would last, that wouldn't be changing with everything, it'd be the stars. Because they're not, you know... You remember I told you before, there were five... There are five planets that are visible with the naked eye. And they had the five planets plus the sun and the moon became the seven, what were called wandering stars. Because they moved to them rapidly through this picture. And so... The wandering stars aren't linchpins in this story. And, I mean, why in the hell are these things billions of light years away? Well, so that they have a permanence from our perspective. I mean, God could have made the universe and had Betelgeuse, you know, 300 yards away or something. I mean, it would have been a little dangerous, but... I mean, he could have done it a whole lot differently than this, except that this way, the story essentially remains the same. If they're any closer, then their own movements would make them the wandering stars.
And then he also uses something that's right here that's so close, but that doesn't change, and that's the seeds and the vegetables.
And that's just turn. Right, and that just tells a different angle or part of the story. It's like putting flesh in the dry bones. Okay, Revelation 14. Okay, let's, before you do that, before you go to Revelation, go to Joel 3:13. It's Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos. So it's Ezekiel, it's Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. Jeremiah. I mean, is Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Ezekiel. Forget it. Find it.
We need Bibles that have the same pages.
Yeah, go to page 600.
Well, I'll tell you what, if we do that, then you're all going to have to get this one, and this one's out of print.
Yes, it's all.
We'll wait. Three. Now, the book of Joel is a book about locusts. And it's a book about there's four different names for a locust that the Bible uses. And it's worm, canker worm, anyway, it's the four stages of becoming a grasshopper and then locust. And so if it's the book of Joel, is not only this, this obviously the things that said in there came to pass, but it's a metaphor for the human race. And then there's something comes into time, and it's called the outpouring of God's Spirit in Joel 2:28, and that's what Peter quoted, right? And then, so the immediate thing that comes to, and remember, there's no chapter headings or anything in the, when this scroll is, does everybody find Joel? All these Bible scholars. Daryl had to use his thingy. His
disgusting.
Okay, so this third chapter of Joel is really just continuing talking about the outpouring of God's Spirit, which Peter said was what happened on the day of Pentecost. You understand that? Okay, so in verse 28, it shall come to pass after that I pour out my spirit upon all flesh, etc., etc., etc. Okay, now let's go down to 3:1. For behold, in those days, and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations, and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. And they have cast lots for my people, and have given a boy for a harlot, and sold a girl for wine that they might drink. Yea, and what have ye to do with me, O Tyre and Zidon, and all the coast of Palestine? Will you render me a recompense? And if you recompense me swiftly and speedily, will I return your recompense upon your own head? Because you have taken my silver and my gold, and have carried into your temples my goodly pleasant things. The children of also of Judah and the children of Jerusalem have you sold unto the Grecians, that you might remove them far from their border. Behold, I will raise them out of the place whither you have sold them, and will return your recompense upon your own head. And I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the children of Judah, and they shall sell them to the Sabaeans, to a people far off, for the Lord hath spoken it. Now all that stuff has already happened. You understand that? In the flesh, the idea of what's the Grecians and selling them, and that was all in the Alexander the Great thing. Okay, you understand that? Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles: prepare war, wake up the mighty men, let all the men of war draw near, let them come up, beat your plowshares into swords, and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Now, this is the exact same kind of conflict. Remember, when one time Jesus said, you know, don't take your purse, don't take nothing. And the other time he said, now you take your sword. Okay. One part here in the Old Testament says, beat your swords into plowshares. Now he says, beat your plowshares into swords. Okay, what the hell's going on? Changed his mind. No, he didn't.
Different war.
Didn't work the other way.
They ate and died.
Yeah, I've never seen this part where...
Okay, let's listen to it. Let's beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Now next time you hear one of these guys, like, you know, especially the humanist gospel, you read them that one. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened and come up into the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Now, you remember what the valley of Jehoshaphat is? Mm-mm. We'll find out in a minute. Just remember, they're talking about valleys of Jehoshaphat, and stuff is happening in the valley, okay? Because in the valley of Jehoshaphat is the place of judgment. It's where things are going to be judged. And it's where it's 1,600 and some furlongs long, and the blood's up to the horse's bridle. Well, don't worry about it. Don't. Just know that the blood's up. It's bridles and bridles and stuff.
Horses.
Big horses. Yeah, a lot of blood. Put you in... Okay, now, this is the one that we're... Boaz is up there. He's got the sickle in his hand, right? Put you in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Okay? Now, stay there a minute. This is this is 2,800 years ago. Joel saw this. Put in the sickle, the harvest is ripe. Okay? Now let's go to, where is it, John? Well, let me get there first. I forgot. John 4, I think. But. John, John 4:34. This is when he said, I have meat to eat, you didn't know not of. And they said, what the hell's going on? Hey, who's been bringing him secretly bread and stuff? And Jesus saith unto him, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Now, again, because we know what's happening here, we know that he is coming to, he's on his way to Jerusalem for the feast, that and we know it's early in the year, it's like it's in February. And the field has just been planted, and there's nothing looking, you can't see anything. And he's telling him, don't look at that field. Look and see, don't say there's 4 months until the harvest. Say that the harvest has come already. The fields are white. Again, this is the idea that, and again, this is what's so difficult for the human mind to comprehend. The finishedness of something that doesn't appear to be so. This is the source of all dispensational thinking. The idea that something has to take place for something else. And this is the source of all misinterpretation of the scriptures, and this is the source of all the confusion in your life. Because at the moment you think that it's not finished, then you automatically think that there is something to do. And so the moment you think that it's not finished, then your imagination goes to work. The way you cast down imaginations is to see botes clearly. You put in the sickle. You understand? You don't understand.
Mm-hmm. See the finishedness.
You see, everything is finished and everything's ready for harvest. There's nothing left to do.
Yeah.
Nothing in any arena of your life. Okay. If you knew that, then casting down imaginations is automatic.
I guess we don't know that.
Well, that's what we're going to know. Okay. Now let's go to Matthew 13. Matthew 13. This is Jesus explaining the parable of the sower, which, you know, the sower went forth, and he sowed some seeds from the wayside, and fowls came to devour them up. And this is one that he said, if you don't understand this parable, you won't understand anything. And so I'm not going to read it to you because he has an addendum to it, and he talks, and this is the addendum is the tares in the field. Okay, you remember the tares? Okay, you remember what tares are?
Mm-hmm.
They're a type of wheat called Dardanelle.
Our next door neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
The Dardanelles.
Oh. And they look just like, exactly like, good wheat.
Yeah. And they're bad?
It's poison.
Yeah.
Well, let's go. Oh, I'll read it to you. Let's go to Matthew. We'll start earlier then. Matthew 13, verse 24. Another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. Now, tares is a technical word. It's darnel. It's false wheat.
Well, that, yeah.
Huh?
That makes sense.
I know it does.
When I read that, it was like another guy came along and sowed weeds or something, but that's not so right.
No. No, it's something you can't see. I mean, it looks any differently. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants, now you remember, when the, anyway, so the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, dost thou not sow good seeds in thy field? From whence cometh then the tares? Or from whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now, all the time, every time you see that kind of a parable about gathering, it's the end of time. Now, that's why it's none of your business to judge who's who and what's what.
Yeah. He just blows the hell out of evangelizing.
Oh, it's terrible. Okay, now let's go down to, now go down to 36. Then Jesus, while the multitude, then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. What the hell does that mean? Huh? Yeah.
That was a rhetorical question.
He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so will it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall rend forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. And again, iniquity is self-seeking. It's a technical word. Again, in Hebrew, it's Avon. And I find it fascinating that what's-her-name is selling Avon.
What's her name?
Darlene. Then shall a righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Well, I mean, 42. And shall cast them into a furnace of fire, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth, then shall a righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Again, we're talking about the idea, why is the sickle in the hand of Boethes? Well, a sickle is in the hand so that it's the indicator that the harvest has come, and he's running to the harvest. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, now we're ready to study Revelation.
Right. Yay.
Are we done with Amos?
Huh?
Are we done with Amos?
We never went to Amos.
Are we done with Joel?
Yes, yeah, we're done with Joel.
Same page.
Revelation 14. I love to study Revelation.
He chants at the bit.
Huh?
He chants at the bit.
And I looked. You remember 13? You remember we studied 13?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But here. Okay, let me go back up a little bit. Go to 13 verse 16. It's talking about, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Okay, we've said that the mark in the forehead is the whore's forehead, cause and effect, buy and sell. The mark in the hand is always indicative, as we've talked so many times, is the doing of the thinking. It's always symbolic of that. Okay? And that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom, let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. Now again, It could, it just, an equal translation is, for it is the number of man. And his number is 666.
In watching that movie, The Exorcist, last night, one of the reasons I really wanted to see it was because it was a
turn. Can't believe you said I look like Max von Sydow. He was dying.
Well, I was making it. It's like two nights in Mankind. No, I really wanted to see it because when it came out, I wasn't a believer, and it scared me and all kinds of stuff. So I wanted to see what it would be like to see again. Last time, my solution, I don't know if I can communicate this, but I was sitting in the theater, I was sitting in the theater dying and going, God, if you'll get me out of this, I promise I go to church every day, which is pretty funny since that's what I do now. But my solution to the problem was, I'm sitting there going, don't go back in that room. Just leave the little kid to rot and just go away and go to the park or something, go to the beach, but don't go back in the fucking room.
Go to church.
And last night, it was like, let's go. It's like Max von Sydow got there and I'm going, come on, let's go, I'll go with you. Let's go kick ass.
Whatever. Yeah, but tell him about calling when the first time you saw it.
Oh, when the movie was over? It took me about 15 minutes to get out to the lobby from my seat. And then I called my wife and asked her to come get me because I was so frightened I couldn't drive home.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I had friends who had that reaction too.
I wasted 2 or 3 sessions a week with my psychiatrist for almost 9 months on that movie.
Holy, it just...
Terrible.
Everybody's heard.
I said, if you get me out of this, I'll go to church every day. Yeah.
Everybody in here has heard my demon stories, I'm sure. When I
haven't.
Well,
I thought of that last night when her eyes rolled. Yeah. She started levitating.
Ooh. I had a little girl, 16. Her eyes went to the back of her head. She began to speak in a man's voice and tell me every bad thing I'd ever done.
Are you kidding?
No.
Did it take a long time?
That gave you the willies.
Thank you for that notable levity.
Okay, now we definitely have a period.
I know, it pushes opposite.
Okay, this is me.
And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood. Now, remember, this is in juxtaposition to the number 66, the beast. And he looked, and he saw a lamb stood on the Mount Zion. And with him 144,000 having his father's name written in their foreheads. Now, what does it mean to have the father's name written in your foreheads? You have the mind of Christ. That though you be in the form of God, you think it not something to be grasped, to be equal to God, but empty yourself. Make yourself of no reputation.
No, you don't have Yahweh stamped in your forehead.
No, it's the mind of Christ. Is the mind of Christ is the father's name written. Everybody understand that? And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of great... You know what would be wild? What? What are you laughing at me for?
I'm just laughing about what Butch had said.
You never laugh at Butch. You gotta, because he encourages them. Yeah, you don't want to encourage Butch. Is that, wouldn't it be really wild if since the beginning of time, there were only going to be 144,000 in the bride?
First thing
would
be
144,000 billion. Better husband. Yeah, but I mean, that's an unanswerable. It's an unknowable.
Yeah.
And it doesn't affect our walk any. I mean, we're not going to be like the Jehovah's Witnesses and go out and number them.
Count people.
But it's an interesting concept because it's used so many times. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, as in the voice of great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. Well, that's interesting. And they sang, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. No man could learn that song. What was the song they sang?
An angel's tune.
What was the song?
What's the only song that no one can know but the chosen, but the redeemed? The song of grace. I like to hear it, but I mean...
Is that a thing? I mean, I never heard of that before. Is that something?
We never sang it here.
I mean, the song of grace, is that a...
We're coming towards
you. You remember what I've talked to you about? You remember what I've talked to you about? That when remember we were talking about if you're in the, we've done this so many times, but if you're walking across the bridge and you're in step, you destroy the bridge.
The harmonic that'll.
Okay. The harmonic that will destroy the universe and bring to close the end of time, bring it time to an end, is the Song of Grace.
Did you make that up?
It's obvious.
I know it's perfect. That's why I'm asking. Did you make that up?
Yes.
Get it somewhere.
No, I didn't get it somewhere.
Does it matter?
Yeah. I might want to reference my source.
No. But the new song is the Song of Grace. It's the song that no man can know.
That's true.
Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
It's neat stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, it is.
Dale looks like he's going to write a poem.
He's going to let his computer run for him.
Harper's harping the harps.
Yeah. Us poet whores
are always in search of new ideas. No, no man can learn that song.
Yeah.
But the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth or the earthen vessel. These are they. Now this is where you're going to get in big trouble. You got excited there. Now you're going to feel bad. These are they which were not. Were this which now notice it's where we're not defiled with women.
Notice that I was going to ask you a question about it.
Okay. It doesn't say anything about woman being defiled by man.
Yeah, that knocks out one too. Must mean something else.
Okay. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. Now, you want to talk about that one for a while? Let me read another verse, and then we'll talk about that for a while. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Now, let's go to, let me see. This is neat stuff. This gets neat. But I got to remember where it is. Louis, will you close the door the next time you do that?
That was the new song.
That was a nasal revelation.
Okay, Matthew 22.
We don't need our names anymore.
Matthew 22, verse 23. Matthew. 22:23. The same day, as soon as Butch finds Matthew.
Found it.
Flip.
One of the chapters, 22:23, right?
Comes after Mike.
The same day.
The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection. And asked him, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third unto the seventh. And last of all the woman died also. Therefore in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Jesus answered. Sounds like some of the. Never mind. Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. Therefore, that's the leaven of the Sadducees, the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. That's a heavy scripture. They neither in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage. Okay? You remember why we looked that up? Because it says they're all virgins.
Right. Oh, is that why we looked at that?
Oh, God.
Sorry.
The attention span of this group.
The resurrection. Sorry. Okay.
Okay. Back to... Back to Revelation 14. The ones that had learned the new song, the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth, they were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. They follow the Lamb whither so he goest. They were the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. Their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Okay?
Yeah.
Well, that's sort of, you know, we're talking about. If they're the first fruits, does that imply later fruits? Or is that...
Well, this is a particular technical fruit, which is... I mean, technical term, which is the... Means the first fruits.
The
first feast of fruits.
The first
fruit. Yeah. That's an unanswerable question. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, and kindred, and tongue, and people. And then notice it says the everlasting gospel. That means it hasn't changed with time. Saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. Botes is come. And worship him that made heaven and earth, and the sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, the great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast, worship meaning give importance to, and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Everybody understand that? And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud sat one like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle, Botes. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat in the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat in the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, and he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had the power over fire, and cried with a loud voice, cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine, of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came up, claim out of the winepress, even unto the horses' bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. Now notice that the winepress was trodden without the city. That means without the camp.
What does that mean?
Okay, that means... Okay, go to Hebrews 13.
Stuff, isn't there?
Mm-hmm. That's the whole reason for the Bible.
Yeah.
whole reason for time and space.
Vineyards?
Vineyards, wine.
It's the most great. Hebrews what?
Hebrews 13. Well, we'll start in verse 6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. That's important. Remember them which have, and this is also important, remember them which have the rule over you.
Sure.
Who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats or foods, which have not profited them which have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Let him, et cetera, et cetera. Now, the point of it is that in the New Jerusalem, the city in Revelation, this Revelation says that the winepress of God is trodden without the city, and he called all of it without the city the Valley of Jehoshaphat, where the winepress is. Understand?
That's where the winepress is in the Valley of Jehoshaphat.
Yeah, and that's where we are being squashed. Blessed, you know what we say when we drink the wine. Lord our God, blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. Okay, when we say that, we're agreeing with him that we are to be stomped so that we become one spirit, one body, so we know we are. Okay?
Is there any reason, I mean, obviously, what is the reason why the wine press is in a valley called Jehoshaphat?
So that, because it's not in Gehenna. The two things on either side.
Oh, it's on opposite sides of the thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I didn't know that.
Okay.
It may feel like Gehenna. It may look like Gehenna, but it's not Gehenna.
Right.
As long as you still
call it, think you're great,
you think it's
Gehenna. You understand that?
Yeah.
It's not, the fire, the hell is in Gehenna, the dump. The wine press is in Jehoshaphat.
What does that mean, Jehoshaphat? Does it mean anything symbolic?
I can't remember right now.
One other question.
We'll let you look it up for the next session.
No, you look it up.
Yeah, that's your assignment.
What about this part about...
What's the gate mean?
Hellfire and damnation.
The gate, which is... That's the door of the... Yeah.
Everything?
Yeah.
And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast of his image,
right.
Beast and his image, and whosoever received the mark of his name. What does that mean?
Just what it
besides
says.
Judgment and all that stuff.
Till forever and ever is until there is no more time. When time ends, it'll be as though they never existed. Is that what you meant? I don't know what else.
No, it just seems sort of extraneous to the whole business. Like, the world is all, everyone goes to heaven, and the other guys just aren't mentioned.
It's as though they never existed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There's chaff.
Oh, I know what it means. Jehoshaphat means Jehovah has judged.
Really?
Okay, we're going to study, this idea of Boaz is, again, important in Revelation, the last chapter, 22. In 21, It's the new heaven and the new earth and the new Jerusalem, right? And it's all of the stones of the star, the various jewels of the temple. Then in verse 21, verse 21, we'll start there. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, and several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, and it was as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Because in the temple, they by law had to shut the gate at sunset. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. This is written in, more than likely was written in 67 AD is the best scholarship. It's almost, it's 1900 years ago. He said, unto the things which must shortly be done. Now the reason it must shortly be done is because from the shortness of it to be done was the destruction of the temple. Huh? Right. Okay. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Again, behold, I come quickly. The word is Maranatha. And there's a lot of religious groups called Maranatha.
Is that also the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple? Is that?
Well, suddenly, that's a Hebrew word. But suddenly would be quickly. Yeah, same kind of thing. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. I mean, he already saw them. It's always finished. He saw they were finished, even before they were actually finished in time. The same that Isaiah did, the same that all these guys did. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them that which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. In other words, he's saying worship only God. Don't worship some idiot angel. And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers, whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now, you can't understand the book of Revelation unless you can say to him, Come quickly. And the mystery is that you must see that he is come before he does come. Now let's look at this one up. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. Go to Isaiah. chapter 41. Now this also has to do, as I told you, with the casting down of imaginations. Verse 21. Everybody got it? Produce your cause. Produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, saith the King of Jacob. Let them bring them forth and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things what they be, that we may consider them, and the latter end of them, or declare us things for to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that you are gods. Yea, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed, and behold it together. Behold, you are of nothing, and your work of naught. An abomination is he that chooseth you. You understand the same idea? Produce your cause. It's too late to worry about doing good or gaining righteousness by activity. Do good or do evil. If you let him that's filthy remain filthy, let him that's clean remain clean, etc., etc. That's not the issue any longer. Because Boaz has come. Amen? I quit. Anybody got anything else? What? So we finished Virgo.
Yay.
Virgo. People rejoice. It'll only take us a year to get done.
Optimistic.
Well, it takes about a month to do Virgo.
Yeah.
Now comes
Libra.
Yeah, its original meaning was the altar, not the scales.
Which was the order that you wished we'd studied the decans?
I wished we'd have studied it as...
Bodhi.
Coma, Bodhis, and then Centaur.
That's going overnight.
Yeah.
That's the way God
has it. Anybody got anything else? Take it, big guy.